Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Satarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One time in Seattle, Washington, Srila Prabhupada was speaking on the occasion of his spiritual master's disappearance, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And his opening remarks in that lecture were that the spiritual significance of the appearance of a great acharya and the disappearance of a great acharya are the same. And it was a little difficult to understand how the appearance of a great personality and the disappearance of a great personality, they're not identical, but the spiritual significance is the same. So how is that? There's a very wonderful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in the prayers of the demigods, while Lord Krishna was still within the womb, where they give the answer to this mystery. I listened to that lecture many times, and I didn't get it, how the message that Prabhupada wanted to give. I'm sure it was there, I just didn't get it. In part, the increased remembrance of that great personality is at the essence of their appearance or their disappearance. Because by the remembrance of that great personality, automatically one is remembering Krishna, because you can't think of that a great Vaishnav apart from Krishna. You can't think of Krishna apart from the great devotees of the Lord. One time, a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, "Is it okay to pray to Krishna?" And then they explained the reason for their asking the question, that they had heard Srila Prabhupada say many times, one should not jump over the spiritual master, but rather one should approach first the spiritual master, and through the spiritual master one may approach Krishna. So they were asking in that way, is it okay? Or is it an offense to pray to Krishna? And Prabhupada's reply, he chuckled, gently laughed and said, "Is it possible for you to think of Krishna separate from the spiritual master? Is it possible you think of the spiritual master separate from Krishna?" So on the order of the spiritual master, you pray to Krishna. Then it is very good. Before Krishna had made his appearance, the prison house of Kamsa became as luminous as the daytime outdoors, although they were in a prison house. Because within the womb of Devaki was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even Kamsa recognized, "I've never seen my sister look like this before. She's so effulgent and so happy and so beautiful. This must be the form of Vishnu who has taken shelter within her womb and will come to kill me. So he was being Krishna conscious too. Wasn't bhakti, but he was always thinking of Krishna. Unfavorably, but always thinking of Krishna. The demigods were thinking of Krishna favorably. So I'm going to read two verses that are appropriate for the disappearance day of a great acharya, as well as for the appearance of the personality of Godhead, because by remembering a great acharya, Krishna becomes attracted and makes his appearance in your heart. O lotus-eyed Lord, this is Canto 10, chapter 2, text number 30 and 31. O lotus-eyed Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nescience, one follows in the footsteps of Mahajans, great saints, sages, and devotees. By this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nescience as easily as one steps over the hoof print of a calf. So, you've heard this before. Those that have heard Srila Prabhupada's teachings have heard this before. There's this ocean of material existence. Not only material existence, but so vast. It's like an ocean. And to cross over an ocean, even you have a sturdy boat, it's very dangerous. But the very nature of Krishna's lotus feet, by meditating upon Krishna's lotus feet, that big ocean shrinks to the amount of water that's in the hoof print of a calf. We had a calf in the temple room. Not a cow or a bull, but a little calf. And little hooves on the little calf. And of course, there's no marks in the marble floor from the hooves of the calf. But on sand, there's marks, hoof prints. Supposing there's water that fills the hoof print of a calf. How difficult is it to cross over? Very easy. Some effort, but very easy. So the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, the demigods are saying, are like that boat, that one stepping in the boat of meditation upon the Lord's lotus feet, that ocean shrinks. And immediately you're on the other shore. Because the ocean of material existence shrinks to like the amount of water in the hoof print of a calf. And then they say, O Lord, who resembles the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee. And therefore you are known as a desire tree, kalpa vriksha. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Very beautiful verse. What are the demigods saying? After this metaphor of your lotus feet are like a boat upon which great devotees may step and cross over the ocean because the ocean shrinks to the hoof print of a calf amount of water. But they leave on this shore the same boat. If you have to cross a river or a lake or a body of water and you go by boat, the boat's on the other side. But this glorification of Krishna is such that your devotees leave behind the very means by which they cross the ocean of material existence. And because that is the wish of these great devotees, that others can follow them and cross the ocean too, Krishna is very pleased upon his pure devotee, and so he shows his mercy to those other devotees. Who are those other devotees? That's us. That is, those who are Prabhupada Anugas, those who are followers in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada dedicated his life from the time that he received his instruction from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's described very beautifully in his biography, Lilamrita, that after hearing this instruction the first time, he understood that this was his life's mission. He felt Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's such a qualified person that the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are in good hands. And he felt that, how am I going to fulfill this instruction that he gave me? Because I'm a householder, I haven't even completed my college education, I have a wife, I have a small child. How am I going to fulfill? But this is an instruction, so I must fulfill. Let me prepare myself. So when you receive an instruction, like Srila Prabhupada received from Bhaktisiddhanta, or that Prabhupada gave to us similarly, you may have to prepare yourself to fulfill that instruction. In one lecture in New York, Srila Prabhupada described, in a very humble, his voice became very soft and almost apologetic when he was describing that my spiritual master, he found me in some dark place. Oma jnana timarandasya gananjana salakaya chakshuran militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. And he took compassion upon me, and he made me fortunate. And then he gave me the instruction, you go forward and make others fortunate. And so I came to your country, and I've made you fortunate. Jai Prabhupada! And now that you have received this fortune, I am giving you the same instruction. You go forward and make the lives of others also fortunate. Jai Prabhupada! So it's, we can celebrate that gift of receiving instruction, but we may feel ourselves not qualified. That humility is a good quality for a devotee, but you don't sit on your hands and stay unqualified. You become qualified because you have an instruction from that person who has given you the means to cross over the ocean of material existence. And because he's, Srila Prabhupada is very dear to Krishna, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. That's what that phrase means. He's very dear to Krishna. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. On this earth, he's one who is very dear to Krishna. And because he is very dear to Krishna, Krishna will take kindly upon those who are very dear to him. That's what the demigods are saying. And Krishna will help us. Isn't that good news? It's right in the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said it many times, but he didn't just make it up. Krishna will help us if we sincerely take shelter of the instruction that Prabhupada has given us to make our lives fortunate. Exactly the same instruction Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur received. By going to the Western countries and taking the message of Lord Chaitanya, you will become fortunate and others will become also fortunate. It'll be good for them and good for you at the same time. That is the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Srila Prabhupada came to give us. So it's a twofold instruction. In honoring Srila Prabhupada, let us receive gratefully and graciously and sincerely that instruction. Become fortunate and make the lives of others fortunate by giving this message. The most important thing of all is this message of Krishna consciousness, and the like the whole all the processes of bhakti are built upon the foundation of Shravanam Kirtanam. Srila Prabhupada gave us many temples all over the world. Many of you don't move around the world, but the economy of the world today is such that somebody has a job here today and tomorrow they're somewhere else, and the next day they're somewhere else, and the next day they're somewhere else. But those who become devotees of Krishna, they select their location of jobs based on where there's a temple. And I've met many devotees that have, you know, they travel all over the world. Or he said they have the type of job, a consultancy job, and it's a job over here and a job over there and a job over there. But Prabhupada, envisioning the world situation, he arranged for temples everywhere. The chanting of the holy name can take place anywhere. And there's some countries of the world where they can't have temples. But they can chant the holy name and they can read Srila Prabhupada's books. But here is one of the temples that Srila Prabhupada personally established and personally participated in the installation of the deity. So you have a very fortunate situation. You also have a very great legacy. The legacy is to make the people of the city Krishna conscious. And it's the way to honor a great personality. During the occasion of the memorial ceremony for Mahatma Gandhi, you may know that when Srila Prabhupada, when he was in college, before he met Bhakti Siddhanta, he was a follower of Mahatma Gandhi. And because Prabhupada was a leader by his nature, he was a leader in the Mahatma Gandhi movement. Although he was a young man. And so, at the demise of Mahatma Gandhi, he was called upon as one of the primary speakers to honor Mahatma Gandhi. But he's now a disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta. So how was he going to properly honor Mahatma Gandhi? Here's what Prabhupada said. And it fits completely with the disappearance day of his divine grace. He said the way to honor a great personality is not by building a building and naming the building after that great personality, the something or other building, or making a statue of that great personality and putting the statue of that great personality in a public square. So everybody can pass by and see that great personality. And the pigeons can land on their head and pass stool. And the rain comes and the wind comes and the cold comes and the scorching heat comes and that poor personality has to sit there with pigeon stool on their head and all of those elements. He didn't say all those things. He said, that's not how to honor a great personality. Here's how to honor a great personality. By understanding the ideals that the life of that great personality exemplified and which he taught, and creating a community of persons that live by those ideals, exemplify those ideals. When people ask me, where are you from? Or where do you live? I commonly say, in an airplane. But I have a home base in New York. And on my desk in New York is this quote from the Gandhi Memorial's presentation that later became known within ISKCON as the Gita Nagari prophecy. Because Prabhupada said, Mahatma Gandhi was known for his reading of Bhagavad Gita. He kept with him always Bhagavad Gita, and he lived by Bhagavad Gita. At least in his own way, he thought he did. So, if you want to honor Mahatma Gandhi, then create a place, a community of devotees. And he called it Gita Nagari, where the Gita is lived. People live by the principles of Bhagavad Gita. Not only read Bhagavad Gita and carry it around with them, but they live the principles of Bhagavad Gita. Later on, that book, that manuscript of his lecture was left in a trunk when Prabhupada came to America. It was never published. But later on, when Prabhupada showed, this is where I lived as a grihastha. And there were some trunks, and in one of those trunks was this manuscript. It was never published. But later, when he came to America, and went during the last visit to the West that he made, he wanted to go visit the Gita Nagari farm. And it didn't have a name, but he called it Gita Nagari. Later on, they made the connection between the name, Gita Nagari Farm, and this manuscript Prabhupada described, making a temple of Parthasarathi, Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna, the beloved of his devotee, driving the chariot of Arjuna, and worship Krishna in that mood. And similarly, by remembering Krishna in that mood, remember the spiritual master in that mood. Because in order to fulfill the instruction that Srila Prabhupada gave for all of us to become fortunate and make others fortunate, we require our senses and mind to be properly directed by the spiritual master. Dadami buddhi yogam tam, yenamam upiyanti te. And the spiritual master being the external manifestation of Krishna. So as Krishna was directing Arjuna, Srila Prabhupada was directing his followers according to the instructions of Krishna to Arjuna. Prabhupada's wish was exactly what he said, how to honor the great personality Mahatma Gandhi. That was what ISKCON was. A community of persons who live by the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Because if we take shelter of such a community, if we are participants in that community, that's the boat by which the great acharyas cross the ocean of material existence, and at the same time they leave the means of crossing behind them for others to also become successful. And one of the two principal means, there's many principal means, the two principal means that Srila Prabhupada left behind, besides his temples and a worldwide association of devotees, the process of deity worship, so many opportunities created by Prabhupada's endeavor was through his books. I'll tell two little Prabhupada stories. They're almost identical with two different personalities, where Prabhupada was describing his wish to leave behind him the means to cross the ocean of material existence. Some of you may know Keshava Bharati Maharaj. His main residence is at Govardhan, ISKCON Govardhan community or temple. When Keshava Bharati was living in the Los Angeles community, Srila Prabhupada regularly would take morning walks on Venice Beach after from 6 o'clock till 7 o'clock, come back, greet the deities, Guru Puja, give the Bhagavatam class, and then go to his room. So one time Keshava Bharati, then Das Adhikari, was with a group of devotees who went to Prabhupada's room, and somehow everybody left the room, and Keshava Bharati was still in the room, feeling, nobody asked me to leave, and I'm with Prabhupada alone, so maybe I'll just stay. Feeling a little shy, but a little bold at the same time. And Prabhupada went and picked up his beads and sat down at his desk, because his desk was not with a chair, but sitting on the floor, and a little raised desk. And Prabhupada was just chanting japa. So Keshava Bharati sat down and was chanting japa with Prabhupada. And then he started thinking, how fortunate I am. My life is the perfection of life. I'm with my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the whole worldwide society of devotees. And we're sitting here together in his quarters just chanting japa together. How fortunate. Something like the gopis feeling how fortunate that Krishna has called them with his flute to come join him in rasa dance. Different, but similar. So he just chanted. And Prabhupada's voice became very strong. The cadence, the chanting pace was very strong. And so Keshava Bharati picked up his cadence and volume, and he was chanting very strongly. Then all of a sudden Prabhupada stopped. And he said he took his hand out of his bead bag and held his beads up in the air like this, and looked right at Keshava Bharati, and said, one day, there may be no temples. One day, there may be no devotees. But there will always be the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So just like this morning, we're speaking about taking shelter. Prabhupada was the acharya. He was taking shelter as if there is no other shelter. We may feel, and rightly so, the temple is shelter. And the devotee association is shelter. But supposing that day comes when there's no temple and no devotees. But we have shelter of the holy name. That was Prabhupada's mood of chanting, and that mood he was passing on to his followers. We should take true shelter in the holy name. Then another time, very similar message, but those of you that have read Lilamrita or seen any of the videos of Prabhupada, one of the most wonderful moments in being with Srila Prabhupada is when he received BBT publications that were new in different languages, maybe, you know, Bhagavad Gita in Swahili or something, some different language. He would stop whatever he was doing, just drop everything and take the book and very lovingly and respectfully, like he was holding a baby, take the book, hold it in his hand, and radiate like the sun. And because he was very expert in publication, he would examine the binding, the quality of the printing, the quality of the color. He would start reading pages, not just lines, but pages from the book, and smile. The whole room would just become filled with joy. One devotee was sharing this with me. This is a little Prabhupada story, but Rupanuga Prabhu was sharing that Prabhupada was guru. He was meaning heavy. And sometimes when Prabhupada would laugh, he would be telling a Bengali joke that nobody understood. But he would start to laugh. And because he was laughing, the whole room filled with happiness and everyone was laughing. They didn't know what the joke was. And then Prabhupada would tell the joke again and then laugh again. And then just like that, suddenly, he might think of something or say something or something happened or was brought to his attention and he would become very grave. And the whole room would become silent. Because Prabhupada was so heavy, just in his presence, whatever his mood was, it just carried everybody. And then suddenly he would become joyful again. And the whole room would become filled with joy because he's guru. Great personality. So when he was receiving books, it was like that. The whole room would fill with joy. And then one time he, same as with his bead bag, he closed the book suddenly and said the same thing. One day, there may be no temples. One day, there may be no devotees, but there will always be my books. Srila Prabhupada left behind him the boat to cross the ocean of material existence. The same boat that he used to cross the ocean of material existence, the chanting of the holy name and the hearing of transcendental messages of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. He also provided us with devotee association. He provided us with temples and deity worship, prasadam, how to perform various rituals, how to lead our lives in material existence. I was just sharing with you this 3-hour-long lesson he gave to Peter Burwash on how to be a leader, excellent leader in his occupational field, at the same time be Krishna conscious. 3 hours from our founder Acharya. And he's unpacked those 3 hours into multiple presentations for the whole society of devotees to carry on that same legacy. But of all the things that we have, Prabhupada, at least in these two occasions, highlighted the chanting of the holy name and the transcendental message, sufficient message to carry us back to Godhead. If we take it seriously, if we receive that gift of becoming fortunate, being unfortunate, but receiving the greatest of fortune. Prabhupada wanted to give that. He wanted us to receive it. And he wanted us to share that with others. Create situations where others can hear this message. The temple certainly is the hub or the cynosure, the center piece of that effort. But that effort should go out into the public, into the marketplace and through door to door and through nooks and corners of the city. And concentration to make the community of devotees exemplary of the teachings. For that to happen, there has to be proper education, what those teachings are, and proper training how to apply those teachings. But all of those are submissive offerings to our founder Acharya, to fulfill the instruction that he gave, to honor him by creating a community of persons that live by the values and the teachings of that great personality, our founder Acharya. And for generations to come, same thing. But this is the immediate next generation after the generation of disciples that Srila Prabhupada created, and you have a great service to do in honoring Srila Prabhupada. So this disappearance day is a wonderful opportunity to intensify our remembrance of our founder Acharya and to consider the various ways that we can serve him. And by serving him in meditation upon what he wanted to give us and living by those principles and teaching others how to live by those principles, we're honoring that great Vaishnav in the best possible way, as the words of Srila Prabhupada personally expressed. So the offering is finished. So now we'll have aarti for Srila Prabhupada and honor the feast that's been offered to him following that. Padaki Jai.